the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are taking a look at the Seeker cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players to the game. This is part one of a three-part series. The first two parts will take a look at the level zero cards, while part three will take a look at the upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that are good in one particular Investigator or cards that you can build around receive a Bless Token. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with our review of the Seeker cards in the revised core set. This is part one of three. The first two parts will take a look at the level zero cards, while part three will look at the upgrades. We are kicking things off with Magnifying Glass. It is a one-cost asset with an intellect skill icon, the item and tool traits. It is fast. You get plus one intellect while investigating. This card continues to be very popular in the revised core set and beyond.
Yeah, this card is a slam dunk for investigators like Daisy. Even four intellect investigators make a very good use of Magnifying Glass. The fact that it's fast, not only does it save you an action, but it also saves you resources and skill cards by giving you that plus one intellect. One thing to note about Magnifying Glass is that it's not a static plus one intellect, it's only while investigating. So,
yeah, although at the same time, how often do you really need to use your intellect besides investigating?
There are a couple treacheries in the second scenario that test intellect, but apart from those, yeah, you're generally right.
Yeah, false lead is potentially dangerous for lower intellect investigators, especially since you don't have the intellect to necessarily pass the test or the intellect to necessarily rediscover all of the clues that you have dropped on your location after you fail that skill test. So it's a bit of a double whammy there. But yeah, Magnifying Glass is a card that I still play in pretty much every investigator that can take it. We have seen a few different looks at this type of effect in the expansion packs that have come since, but the fact that Magnifying Glass is fast is a huge boon. The ability to play this without having to take an action is fantastic, and don't forget that it is non-unique, so if you happen to get that second Magnifying Glass in your hand and you need even more intellect while investigating, you can certainly have two Magnifying Glasses on the table at the same time. How would you rate this card?
Within the context of the revised core set, this is an easy Elder Sign for me. This is a really strong card for Daisy. In Roland, it's still pretty good too, so I wouldn't sleep on it in Roland either.
Yeah, I'd call it an Elder Sign as well, even beyond the core. If your primary job is going to be investigating for clues, look at two Magnifying Glasses. And the only reason I'd say you'd cut them is if you really, really need the hand slots for something else. But when it comes to getting a boost to something you're going to do a lot of, it doesn't get cheaper than Magnifying Glass.
Yeah, I think this one is definitely an Elder Sign. Not only is it it boosts Daisy up to a 6, and I think more importantly, it can boost Roland up to a 4, which gives him a leg up against those locations with average to above average shroud. So he doesn't have to commit nearly as many cards to pass those skill tests if enemies don't happen to be on the table that he can use his special ability to grab those clues. And I know I have tried some of the cards that have attempted to replace Magnifying Glass, but often I just go back to Magnifying Glass because saving that action is quite good, especially if you're playing in solo. The next card in the pack is Old Book of Lore, level 0. There is a level 3 upgrade for this card in the revised core set. This is a 3-cost asset with a willpower skill icon, item, and tome traits. As an action, you can exhaust Old Book of Lore, choose an investigator at your location. That investigator searches the top 3 cards of his or her deck for a card, draws it, and shuffles the remaining cards into his or her deck, and it takes up a hand slot. I think this particular tome is so ubiquitous in Daisy that it might as well be her other signature card.
Without question, it truly is, yeah. Being able to spend Daisy's extra action looking at the top 3 cards and getting the best out of those 3 is so strong. It makes her so consistent. You're going to find those wards of protection and be able to protect yourself from grasping hands. You're going to be able to find your magnifying glasses and investigate very efficiently. And it's also nice that it can help Roland, like you were saying in one of our previous reviews, is that you can choose other investigators. So just, it's so good in Daisy.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I admit outside of Daisy, the fact that it requires a hand slot and an action to use, it can start to feel a bit slow outside of Daisy because, like I said, you're taking up a hand slot and it still takes an action to use it every time. So I wouldn't recommend this in every single investigator that can take Old Book of Lore, but it is the match for Daisy.
Yeah, I think that's the case you run into with a lot of tomes, not just the Old Book of Lore, but many of the tomes that have been released in the expansions since the revised core, is that you if you look at a tome within the context of Daisy, they're usually a lot better. Once you start to consider them within the context of investigators who don't get that extra action, their value tends to dip, and it can be very difficult to justify taking that extra action every turn just to do whatever the tome effect is. Old Book of Lore is, I mean, the ability to select which card you get to pick out of the top 3 is pretty fantastic, and the fact that you can use this for other investigators at your location if they get stuck and Roland doesn't happen to have a weapon, or perhaps Agnes doesn't have that spell she needs, you can find that for them and away you go. How would you rate this one?
This one's tough because while it's an easy Elder Sign in Daisy, you know, like Matastrophic and you were saying, tomes are, they're often very slow outside of Daisy. So it can be an amazing card in Daisy, but it's a pretty lackluster card in Roland. And I think for that, I'm going to give it a plus one. You know, it is very ubiquitous in Daisy, and there are a couple other investigators that could make use of Old Book of Lore, but by and large, it's probably going to be a little too slow.
Yeah, I'd also give it a plus one as well within the context of the core set. I mean, of course, you know, Elder Sign plus plus in Daisy, it's the match made in heaven. In, say, Roland needs weapons, they use his hands. Also, as your card pool expands, you may find some other alternative ways of drawing extra cards without having to take up a hand slot, in which case I think Old Book of Lore becomes less powerful as you find alternative ways to get the similar effect done while still keeping your hands free. But I think in the context of the core, and what is in the core, I'd say it's a plus one.
Certainly, there are many cards that have been released since the core set that enable Seekers to draw not just one card, but multiple cards sometimes. I guess the nice thing about the Old Book of Lore is that you can use it every turn if necessary, but like you said, it is slow outside of Daisy. Yeah, easy Elder Sign in Daisy. It is an easy Elder Sign in Daisy, but I'm not sure it even gets to plus one in Roland, because unless Roland is playing, unless you're using him as more of a flexible investigator, leaning into more investigation than combat, I'm not too sure Old Book of Lore makes the cut in his deck. And even then, you know, you've got to ask yourself, if Roland isn't doing the fighting, who is? And I don't think that's a very easy case if you're playing in multiplayer. It's Wendy certainly isn't going to be doing the fighting. Agnes only really has one card that lets her fight, and so once she runs out of charges, she's going to be in trouble. That sort of leaves Skids, and as we discussed during our review of the Skids investigator, Skids doing a lot of fighting is not something you really want to be doing with Skids. So I think if you're playing in multiplayer, you're probably, Roland is going to be doing the lion's share of the enemy management, and you're going to need weapons for that. And so a card like this just isn't going to necessarily make the cut in Roland. So yeah, I agree. This is a tough one. We actually talked about sort of modifying our rating system for cards like this one, I think, where we should have the bless token for cards that you build around. And I think Old Book of Lore is definitely one of those where it's works very well in one investigator, and outside of that investigator, its value starts to drop off quite rapidly. Our next card in the pack is Research Librarian, our first Seeker ally, 2-cost asset with an agility skill icon, ally and Miskatonic trait. As a response, after Research Librarian enters play, search your deck for a tome asset and add it to your hand. Shuffle your deck. The Research Librarian has 1 health and 1 sanity and takes up an ally slot. I think Research Librarian has one job in the revised core, and that is to find the Old Book of Lore for Daisy and then take a damage and or horror and pave the way for Dr. Mylan Christopher to hit the table.
You said it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. With Research Librarian, there are quite a few allies over the course of the game, often enough in Seeker, that do a similar effect. They come in, they do their thing, and then you just discard them to soak later on. And I think Research Librarian, for its cost, it's 2. If there's a tome you care about, you get it, so it kind of replaces itself in your hand, and then you let him go. So for 2, I think that's a great cost. I think he's a very strong card for what he does, assuming you have any tome in your deck that you care about.
Yeah, and Research Librarian is one of those cards that only gets better as you get more tomes in your collection to be able to find. There is a certain unspeakable tome that he can grab that makes him almost problematic, because that tome is really good, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, if you're looking to upgrade your tomes, you certainly can't go wrong by picking up the Harvey Walters starter deck for the Necronomicon. Getting Research Librarian down turn 1 to find the Necronomicon is a pretty sweet play if you can get it going consistently.
Yeah, and that kind of reminds me of something else Research Librarian is also useful for, is it lets you play single copies of important tomes. That, like, let's say you take Old Book of Lore level 3 out of the revised core. If you have 2 Research Librarians in your deck, you don't necessarily need to buy both Old Book of Lore level 3s. You can get away spending 3 XP knowing that you've got 2 Research Librarians to go find it for you.
Yeah, and oftentimes the second copy is dead in your hand anyway, because yep. Daisy only gets to use 1 extra tome action per turn. So having a second tome isn't really that helpful.
So are you seriously suggesting that Daisy only runs 1 Old Book of Lore?
I think you'd probably still run 2 just because you definitely need it. And in case the first one gets discarded from a Crypt Chill or something like that. But yeah, I do think there are plenty of times, especially once you expand your collection, that you can get away with running just 1 Old Book of Lore and Daisy.
So how would you rate this card?
I think similar to Old Book of Lore, Research Librarian is very specific, but in those specific decks, he is really strong, and he's going to arguably get the best card in your deck. I think for me, this is probably a 0 or a bless token, because
the bless.
I guess we are. You know, okay. He is a very build around me card, because he gets a very specific asset, and you know, unless you're playing tomes, this card is useless.
I do think that in general, just the fact that gets you something, you know, is pretty solid. I wanted to rate him a +1, but now that we're adding the new category, he's totally a bless, because given that you have something in you have some tome in your deck that you really care about, this guy's really good, and that's kind of the definition of bless. You have to like reach this certain condition before this guy becomes amazing. So
yeah, he's I mean, he's amazing in those decks that have tomes, and obviously much less so in decks that don't have one. I was going to give him a plus one within the context of the revised core because he is fairly important to what Daisy wants to do, not only just grabbing the tome, but also just providing her with a little bit of soak, usually that for that damage. Not necessarily the sanity, but if you do need to field an attack that deals a damage in a horror, this guy is perfect for that. And then once he's served his purpose, your ally slot is free for Dr. Mylan Christopher to work his magic. Outside of the core set, this guy is definitely a blessed token for build around, because if you're playing tomes, you're probably going to put this guy in. If you're not playing tomes, then this guy is going to sit in your box and research the tomes that happen to be in there. Speaking of allies, the next card in the box is Dr. Mylan Christopher. 4 cost asset with an intellect skill icon. Ally Miskatonic trait, you get plus 1 intellect. And as a response, after you successfully investigate, gain 1 resource. He has 1 health and 2 sanity and takes up the ally slot. It's not often in the revised core set that I get to bring out my busted... my busted graphic, but Dr. Mylan is probably the most busted card in the core set.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. He's a one card engine. You know, not only does he make you better at investigating, but he then gives you money for investigating. Like he pays for himself and then some over the course of a game.
Yeah, the fact that that as written, you can trigger him multiple times in a turn. That means you can spend 3 actions investigating and gain 3 resources. So you get 6 actions worth of output as a seeker for 3. That's kind of nuts. I mean, it is. And it funds the whole rest of your deck if you get him early.
Yeah. I guess in hindsight, Dr. Mylan Christopher was a hint of what was to come for the Seekers, as they have received many, many cards that are somewhat overpowered over the years. We haven't discussed the optional list of taboos, which was introduced by the designers to deal with cards like Dr. Mylan Christopher briefly. The optional list of taboos is an optional rules that you can use for certain cards. Some of the cards have an added experience point cost. Others have had their text changed slightly. In the case of Dr. Mylan Christopher, his text has been changed to say that you may only trigger his response once per turn, which is pretty much what the designers probably intended in the first place, not realizing that, you know, taking 3 investigate actions to discover 3 clues and gain 3 resources was a little obscene. As I mentioned, the optional list of taboos is completely optional. So when you are starting off as a new player, you don't have to worry about it, and you get to experience Dr. Mylan Christopher in all his broken glory. Obviously, this guy is an elder sign and then some without too much trouble.
Yeah, without question. He's very strong.
I'd say, though, that once if you do apply the taboo and you run him such that you have to exhaust him to get your resource, so you only get to use him once a turn, I actually think he kind of drops down to about a 0 for me. I think because there's a lot of competition for that ally slot, and there are some pretty amazing allies out there. And the thing is, part of why the taboo list exists is that Dr. Mylan Christopher, as written, is just like very powerful compared to pretty much anything else they could design. So they had to bring him down a bit. But once you bring him down, there's a lot of other options out there that may seem stronger for your deck than Dr. Mylan. So he becomes like average, simply because of how long it takes for him to pay back.
Yeah, there is also the predicament that he's also very fragile as well. He can only really tank 1 horror for you. And since Daisy is already chock full of sanity, she doesn't really need that. So she kind of, you know, she's using her precious ally slot to have Dr. Mylan Christopher, which is obviously very good, but it makes you very squishy as well, and that's something you have to be aware of when playing him.
And if you spend 4 for an ally, which is a lot, And then Dr. Mullen Christopher goes away to a damage within a turn or two. I mean that's kind of expensive for what he ends up being.
Yeah, and there are as your card pool expands and you start to explore other scenarios, there are cards that will deal direct damage to allies. And so Dr. Mylan Christopher's one health makes him pretty squishy in some scenarios that feature those cards. He can go down, you can play him, and if you don't lose him to a Crypt Chill, which is in the core set, there are cards in other scenarios that will deal a damage to him, and you're unfortunately going to lose him because if he had two health, he'd probably be, I mean, he'd be even better than he already is. But yeah, he'll go down to those cards pretty quickly.
So here's a question for you guys. Do you think it's worth it for Daisy to take Charisma to be able to have slots for Dr. Milan and Research Librarian?
No.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's good something to think about, like what Charisma is really good for and what it isn't good for. Yeah.
Yeah, I think generally Daisy wants the research librarian first, and then she wants him to go away. I mean, because he doesn't add anything once he's on the table,
True.
right? Like once you've
It's
got your
true.
tome, he's just taking up your ally slot. And if he had some other ability on top of what he already did, then maybe, but as he's written, he doesn't really have a spot besides soak afterwards after he's grabbed you that tome. The final card that we are going to look at in this section is Hyper Awareness. It is a two-cost asset with an intellect and agility skill icon. The talent trait, as a free triggered ability, you may spend one resource to get plus one intellect for this skill test. As a free triggered ability, you may spend one resource, you get plus one agility for this skill test. Again, this is one of the talents. Each of the classes gets one of these. I believe we rated the previous talent, physical training, in the Guardian card pool a zero, and I think this one is pretty close to that for me as well. It is a good enemy management option for seekers to have that extra agility, and if they have the resources from Dr. Mylan Christopher to pump into this thing, it can certainly help them get away from enemies, as long as that enemy doesn't have the hunter keyword.
Yeah, I think this talent is one of the better ones. I generally think that the talents that have what I would call proactive stats, or stats that you use during your turn, those ones tend to be a bit better just because you have much more control about when you're going to use them. In the context of the core, this is a pretty solid one of, like, well, it's not going to do a lot for you in the early game. Later on, as we were saying, you generally may have a pool of resources, and this is just going to be able to help you push through and complete scenarios.
Yeah, I actually take a different angle on the talents as you, Nate, and the way I see it, I really like physical training because it really comes in when you kind of need it most, which is at the end of the game, when that rotting remains will just take you out, or when you're fighting the ghoul priest where missing your attack is like very, whether you miss your attack is very important. Whereas hyper awareness, Daisy doesn't need the intellect boost, does she? Like, she's already at a five, and then Magnifying Glass and Dr. Milan put her to seven. Like, I don't think she needs hyper awareness. Yeah, it adds to her agility, and I do think there's an angle there where you can play Daisy and you can have a very inexpensive deck and rely on hyper awareness to evade enemies. But I feel like that's pretty narrow because if you're playing with like a Guardian, say if you're having Daisy play alongside Roland or even Skids, I don't think that's as necessary. So I look at talents a little bit differently. I kind of like the defensive ones, or the ones that come into play when you want to dump a lot of resources into making sure you pass really important tests.
Yeah, hyper awareness
Yeah.
also helps her with like locked door and grasping hands as well, which are pretty annoying cards for her to have to deal with.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
And in Roland, there are going to be times where you may want to investigate a Forge Shroud location, and
Right.
only having a magnifying glass you might want that extra couple of points, and hyper awareness
Sure.
comes in clutch in those situations, I think.
I think hyper-awareness is kind of in an awkward spot as far as talents go, because, like you say, Matastrophic, Daisy doesn't need the intellect boost from this one. And if you're playing in multiplayer and you've got somebody like Roland who can manage, keep the enemies under control, that plus one agility isn't going to necessarily come in to play all that often. Like Nate said, there are some treacheries like Locked Door where you are going to need this. The same is sort of true for Roland, unless you're really playing Roland as the, you want him to really investigate a lot. The hyper, that plus one intellect isn't going to come into play all that often. And then he doesn't really need the agility so much, at least in the core set. Most of the main sort of agility treachery that deals damage, so you don't really need the agility boost. I think hyper awareness actually gets a little bit more interesting in Roland as your card pool expands and you begin to explore other scenarios, because as the game has developed, the number of treacheries that deal with, that have agility skill tests, has really increased to the point where it's almost as ubiquitous as willpower treacheries. And some of those agility treacheries can be pretty nasty. So having something in your back pocket, if you're playing a campaign where you know you're going to face a lot of agility treacheries, it's nice that Roland does have this option to include this as a one of and protect himself a little bit from those treacheries. It's also worth mentioning that there is a level 2 upgrade for hyper awareness, which reduces the resource cost to 0, and that's in the Return to the Knight of the Zealot product. And the level 4 upgrade, which comes into play with two resources that replenish themselves, is in the Lair of Dagon Mythos pack. How would you end up rating this one?
For me, I'd give this a 0. I think it's serviceable, but if you're looking to upgrade a card out of Roland, this is probably one of the slots you're looking at initially, and probably in Daisy too. But there are going to be times when, you know, having this in play later in a scenario might come in handy, but I think apart from that, it's pretty okay.
As I mentioned, I take a little bit of a different point of view on the talents and when they're good and what they're good for. So this one I don't like so much, so I actually give this one an Elder Thing for all the reasons I mentioned earlier. I think there is, like I said, I think there is a way to make good use of this in a Seeker by running the rest of your deck very inexpensively, and if you're playing solo. But other than that, I don't see this making the cut a lot.
Yeah, I think I rate most of the talents as a 0. I wouldn't, if I saw somebody show up at the table with a deck with this in it, I wouldn't sort of consider them to have built a suboptimal deck in any way. It's probably, you know, as long as you're playing just one copy, there's a chance that it will be useful at some point. But I think this is one of those cards that also gets quickly outclassed, certainly by, once you sort of get into the Dunwich Legacy and you get higher education, that is clearly superior to that if you're looking for intellect boosts. And this does have competition from Mind Over Matter for those occasional agility skill tests that you need to pass. But they do sort of crop up from time to time. I mean, there are some locations that you need to investigate in the revised core that require agility. There's at least one of those. And then there are, you know, things like locked doors and stuff like that. So it's nice to have the protection. But again, if you've got Mind Over Matter, which I think is superior, then you should then you might be able to get away without this one. That's going to do it for our look at part one of the Seeker cards in the revised core set. Any final thoughts?
Seeker's pretty strong, and you can see from these first five cards here about how focused they are and how well a lot of them actually go together. Magnifying Glass and Dr. Milan Christopher puts Daisy up to a 7. It's very clear what the Seeker's good at. Get those clues.
And it's also worth noting that that costs 5 resources, which is also conveniently the amount of resources you start with.
Nate, so I think you're onto something.
Yeah, curious. Research Librarian and Old Book of Lore also conveniently cost 5 resources.
Oh man, now that's two. Now that's a coincidence. I think this is worth further exploration.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.